into Texas and to minister with you, and want to say thank you for the ministry that your pastor's had for us over the last few years. Of course, coming back to preach for us during alumni days, thank you for loaning him back to the college to invest in the young people there. We thank you for your missionary support that you have. Looking around the room here, you have a lot of missionaries that you support. We thank the Lord that you have the opportunity to continue to pass the baton of faith onto other people. I'd like to take us this morning in the Sunday School Hour to a time period in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, where the Apostle Paul is sitting in prison. As he's in prison, he's relating the truth of the gospel, even though he feels like that circumstances that he's in are not as beneficial as he desired for them to be. He has a plan to do the work of God. And many times, whether it be in the prison epistles, such as Ephesians here, or even other books like in Thessalonians, he reminds them about the importance of praying for one another and remembering one another. He said, even in bonds, I want you to pray for me. And so as you think about the book of Ephesians, Paul is sitting in a Roman prison, and he's writing about how God can use him and others. Do you realize it doesn't matter where God puts you, you can still be used of God? And you may feel like that Wellington, Texas is not a large town, there's not a lot of people here, but you're important, you're in this town. Your family's important, your job's important. And the things we deal with today, we want to deal with based upon the longevity of God's truth and the joy of knowing the Word of God. Somebody took time to share Christ with you, and I trust this morning you might realize that there are people in this area that still need the Lord too. And not only do we ground ourselves in the Word of God and grow in grace and in knowledge, but we find that God has a plan for each of us to use our life as an investment in the work of God. So in Ephesians chapter number 1, we're going to look at chapter 4 in a moment. Ephesians 1, we're going to find that Paul is relating the importance of salvation. He's trying to remind the people in Ephesus that he spent 3 years with there, according to the book of Acts, that God was working upon their heart and lives. So there in Ephesus, he relates to them that God the Father sent God the Son to give us redemption. Through His blood, we find the forgiveness of sins. And then he said He gave us the earnest of our inheritance, the Holy Spirit of promise. So if you're saved this morning, God lives in you and He lives in me. God Himself dwells within the believer. And the Bible said that He will teach us and guide us into all truth. So when pastor stands up to preach, or some evangelist, or some servant of God, or a missionary would stand up and proclaim to teach or preach God's Word, the Holy Spirit of God will guide you and direct you into all truth. And as Paul was reminding them of this, he said, we're to live to the praise of His glory. You see, salvation ought to mean something in the life of a believer. And Paul tried to reflect upon this by saying, we're not saved by our own merit, we're saved by the grace of God, and we should live our life dedicated to Him. That's why he wrote Ephesians chapter number 2, which reveals to us a great majestic principle of redemption for all the world. Jew or Gentile, we're all saved the same way. For by grace are you saved through what, beloved? And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And it said in verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now listen, those good works are not in heaven. They're on the earth. The Bible said, Titus, when Paul wrote to Titus, he said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Peter said it like this. He said, we're to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we know that you have a personal relationship with the Lord. You have your personal time with God in your devotional reading and your Bible reading. But aren't you glad for the last 77 years has been a place to go in Wellington where the man of God can stand and open the book of God and ask the Lord to help him to portray to God's people, being directed by the Spirit of God, to follow the life God has planned for them. That's why you're here this morning. You're not here for pastor. You're not here for social museum. We're here because God has called us into His ministry, into His service, and every one of you are a vital link to the ministry of Calvary Baptist Church. In chapter 3 and chapter 4 of Ephesians, Paul begins to relate the mystery that God had. He said when He put the Jews and Gentiles together by way of redemption, He also established what is called the church. And for 77 years, this church has been in existence right here. And God cares for His church. God's concerned about the people in the church. He wants you to continue to flourish in the work of God. Little is much when God is in it. You say, well, we don't have 1,000 people at church. Well, listen, a lot of churches don't. Do you realize that 75% of the towns in America, 75% of the towns in America are under 15,000 people? which means that most churches, Brother Tom, are not going to be very, very large. But we want to thank God for the faithfulness of His servants and His people to realize that every town deserves a Bible-preaching church. And those people ought to attend that church and to grow in the Lord. So Paul reveals the mystery of the church, and he said we're to endeavor to take that vocation with which we're called and go forward in our service to God to honor Him and serve Him in truth with all of our being. And then he relates to us in verses 11 through the end of the chapter there the importance of how God established the church, sent His Son to die for the church. He wants the church to flourish, and He told us exactly how it can be accomplished. The mystery is now being revealed. So if you have your Bible, Ephesians chapter number 4, we're going to pick up in verse number 11. We're going to read what Paul had to say under the inspiration and Spirit of God about the importance of the church. And it talks about how we're to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And he said, now the church is given to us, verse 11, and He, God, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, it sounds to me like there's a different group of people connected here. It started with the prophets. It started with the people of God in the Old Testament time. And God began to add to that different individuals. Everybody has a part. Now, down here in Texas, I'm sure that sometimes the weather can get bad. And if it does get bad and you have ice or snow or something of that sort, I know up in Oklahoma we have a lot of ice storms and a lot of strong wind too. We're not talking about the preaching. We're talking about the tornadoes, all right? And down here in Texas, you may have some cold weather from time to time. Here in the Panhandle area, you know, could have some snow or ice. And a lot of times you can take your pickup truck and you can put a chain on there and you can pull somebody out of the ditch. Try to help them without calling a tow truck or something of that sort. And so you grab your chain out of the back of your pickup and you're able to wrap it around their bumper or something and to pull them out. And what a blessing that is, so they don't have to pay a lot of money to be pulled out of the ditch. But I would like to remind you that chain has no value of itself by saying, I'm a chain, look at me. I'm a chain, I'm wonderful. No, the chain has nothing to say for itself. But the chain is vitally important. Now, it may seem insignificant sitting in the back of the pickup truck until it's needed. And by the way, people may not know the church is needed right now in their life, but if you're saved, you ought to know it's needed. It's important for your life. And so this chain has two hooks on it. And of course, those hooks are put together to be able to put the chain where it needs to be to pull that person out of the ditch. Now, suffice to say that the two hooks are important, but so are all the links. And no matter how long the chain is, every link's important. Would you agree with me? Every link is vitally important. I'd like to say this also this morning, that the chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And there could be a weak link in there. And I would just like to also relate this to you and I today, that God has told us that He has given us the church. He is the one that empowers the church. He's the one that enables the church. He has given us the armor of God to go about us, the word of God to go before us. We can be strong in the grace of Christ. And so what we find is Paul is saying, you're a vital link to the ministry. They all had different responsibilities, but they're all vitally important. Not everyone can be the pastor. He is. Not everyone can be the treasurer. There's only one. Not everyone can be the church clerk. Not everyone can teach the young people. But we all can do something, can we not? We all can do something for the cause of God, for the glory of our Savior. So it was God that established the church. And Paul, while he's in prison, God is using this time to reflect upon his 3 years in Ephesus. And God said, I want you to relate to them that even though their life may not be placed where they want it to be, even though it seems like that they are insignificant, God has a plan for them and a purpose for them. Hey, even later on in Paul's life, you're going to find that even when he was arrested and taken to Rome, that there were people when he was in Rome that got saved. God put him in a place where he could share the gospel. And many times, you'll read it, Pastor, I love what Paul would write. And he would write down things like, pray for me. Now, obviously, we want people to pray for us, right? So he said, pray for me. But the first prayer request wasn't, pray that I get out of jail. You read the books. He said, pray for me that a door of utterance would be open, that I may be able to manifest or bring forth the gospel of Jesus Christ, that through the predicament that I am in, that God would use it to bring glory to Him, that I would live to the praise of His glory, and no matter what I face, that I would honor God. And then at the end of the chapters, in these books he would write, he said, remember my bonds. Now, it wasn't important. It was important to him that he was in jail, but the focus was not upon the prison. The focus was upon the work of God. And folks, listen, Jesus only had 12 for 3.5 years. And they turned the world upside down for Christ. It's not about the numbers. It's about the heart. It's about you as an individual. Christ died for you. And you are a vital link to the ministry of this church, to your family, on your job, in your neighborhood, in your school. We all can do something for the cause of the Lord. We are a vital link to the ministry. And notice what it says now, that He, God, gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for what purpose? To make the people of God miserable. Is that what your Bible says? No, it says for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Listen, spiritual leaders are to equip the saints. Spiritual leaders are to feed the flock. Spiritual leaders are to give forth the word of God, that the people of God might be equipped for the ministry. It says for the perfecting of the saints. You say, nobody's perfect, Brother Pearson. That word perfect means maturing, growing up. Hey, you know, whenever I first got saved, I had no clue what the Bible was about. I had no clue what my salvation would bring me. I had no desire really to go forward and do wonderful things because I didn't know what wonderful things were. I didn't know a lot of Jewish people were connected to the Old Testament. I didn't know how to pronounce some of those Bible names, and even to this day I have trouble with some of them. Why would any mother in their right mind call some of those children what they did? I mean, the longest proper name in the Bible is Meir Shehalahashbaz. What a name, Isaiah's son. He looked like Meir Shehalahashbaz to me. Now, we have twins in our family. My son and his daughter, they have his wife have two boys, soon to be four. And when they were born, we were trying to pick out names, and I said, now I know I don't have any authority over you, but I can give some influence on some names. He said, we're not going to name them after you, Dad. And I said, there's some good Bible names like Huzz and Buzz. He's like, no, Dad, no, no. But there's a lot of good names in the Bible, right? And some people sometimes pick out a name, and they pick out a name based upon the character of the person. Now, if you don't read the Bible, be careful the names you choose. Yeah. Oh, a little darling daughter is born. We're going to call her Jezebel. That's probably not a good name. You know, we're going to start a new church. We're going to call it Sardis Baptist Church. Sardis means a dead church. I don't want to be a dead church. I want to be a live church. Amen. Learn some things about the Bible. Learn some things about the truth of God. And listen, you can't take it all and swallow it all at once, but we're to grow in grace. A little bit at a time. I started learning from the Bible and started reading the Bible and started gleaning from God's Word, just like you. You may have been saved a long time or a short period of time, but we're to be in the house of God for the... He said, the man of God, the gift of God from the Lord was for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Listen, the saints are to be equipped. And they're to be equipped for the ministry. Not to be equipped to do what they want to do, but be equipped for what God wants them to do. To be equipped for the ministry. We want to train and prepare. We're training these young people. Now, when they come to college, we hope they have a desire to learn. We hope they show up for class. We hope that they do their homework and they pass the classes. And so when they get out in ministry, we hope they're going to follow God. But we can't force them to do that. It's a personal desire and step to follow. Your pastor and his wife, Miss Heather, we're thankful that God is using them in the work of the Lord. We're glad that God's allowed them to come here. We thank God for the training and the preparation, but we don't make preachers. God does. We just help them along the way. We don't get involved in saying, you're going to do what we want you to do. Now, we might do that in the classroom while you're there, but hopefully you're going to mature on your own. You're going to grow in grace. And so he says right here that God, he said he gave these pastors and these teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. You're a vital link to the ministry of Calvary Baptist Church. You're not the pastor, but you have some involvement. You need to continue. You ought to thank God for the 77 years. You say, well, I wasn't here at that time. I know. Maybe you've only been here 10 years. But thank God that the church is still here, that the Word of God is still true, that God's servant is still preaching it, the people of God are still maturing, and they're working in the ministry. The ministry of God, the saints are equipped to take their place in the ministry, and it's for the edifying of the body of the Christ. Listen, the ministry that you're involved with is to contribute to the edifying of the church. We should not be criticizing and murmuring and tearing down the church. We need to be building up the church. Listen, we live in a society where our world can do a lot of tearing down, amen? Where we can hear a lot of things out there, and aren't you glad there's a haven of rest to come to on Sunday? Where you can come together with the people of God, not have to worry like it was in the world that you live in. You can come to a place of peace and a place of kindness, and you can sing the songs of the Lord to remind you of the graciousness of God, to remind you of the importance of loving one another, to be concerned for each other. And if you're not in church, you're missed. Don't blame pastor for coming to visit you or for giving you a call or stopping by to see you because you were not in church. You're important to the ministry here. Every one of you probably know of someone that ought to be here and they're not here today. Do you have enough concern that you want to edify one another? You want to build up one another? You want to encourage one another? And by the way, I'm not saying this for pastor's sake. He has no idea what I'm teaching today except for right now. But you know, when preachers are preaching, every now and then, if he's doing something pretty good preaching, and it sounds pretty good, you might get an amen out every now and then. Or praise the Lord. You say, well, I'm just not that type of person. I thought the same thing about myself till I watched my grandkids play soccer. And it's amazing how you can get carried away, Brother Murdoch. I mean, they're kick the ball, kick the ball, score it, hit him in the head, you know. And they're thinking, I'm a Christian, and I'm supposed to be acting like that, you know. There have been times I've gone to ball games. Brother Hunter's going to ball games, and I've high-fived people I don't even know. I mean, we had a home run, or we scored a goal, or somebody slammed the thing down the hoop, you know. It's like, woo, yeah, having a great time. We get to the house of God, well, we're here, brother, see if you can bless us. Now, I'm not saying this church is like that. I'm just saying the idea is that if you're in the house of God, you've got a reason to be here. This is a vital part of your life. This is the hub of your being. The house of God ought to be a place of joy and happiness. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. So we find that all the preachers that have preached to you about you ought to be in church, well, who does he think he is? Well, he's the man of God. He's a gift from God. Yes, he's a gift from God. Your pastor, your former pastor, and other pastors, they're a gift from God, even though you may not like what they're saying or like what they're preaching and what they're trying to tell you to do. They're doing it for your own good. You can remember as parents when you had children, if you had any, that sometimes you would say things like this. Now, I hate to discipline you, but this hurts me more than it does you. But you're going to have to be chastened for this. And sometimes you had to say no. Sometimes you had to correct them and discipline them because they weren't on that path that you thought they ought to be on. Hey, listen, the Holy Ghost of God will arrest your attention. You just need to be listening. You need to be obeying the voice of God. So Paul is in jail and he's writing here about God has given you the opportunity to have this church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, building up each other. And by the way, I found this out at school. A lot of times people will come, and by the time when they come, they think they know a lot about the Bible. They find out they don't. First quiz. You say, well, I didn't know that's the question they were going to ask. Otherwise, I would have known that answer. The fact is, we're all learning about things. I'm still learning about the Bible, reading the Bible and growing in the Lord. And as we think about reading the Bible, you know, we're not going to have a quiz every Sunday when you leave church saying, did you pay attention to the service? Can you answer these questions? If you do, you'll grow spiritually this week. We can't do it like that. But each individual can hear and listen. And so I hope that the young people, when they're in the school, in the Church of God, they're Southwest Baptist, that we're honoring God and we're helping people and serving the Lord and being faithful to follow along with Him. But we're doing it for a purpose because we're a vital link. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. You learn more and more and more when you go to Bible college. You learn more and more and more when you go to church. Now, I know you can read it on your own, but you need each other. In order to be a chain of truth, you need to have a vital link that's connected to another link and another link and another link and another link, and we're anchored in Jesus Christ. He's the one that gives us that victory and that blessing. So he says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. The Bible says we're to be able at all times to give an answer to every man for the hope that lies in us. How do you know you're saved today? If somebody says, well, I think I can get to heaven by joining a church. Does the Bible say otherwise? Sure it does. Now, being part of a church is great, isn't it? But that's not why you got saved. That's not how you got saved. You say, well, what about all the great works that I do? Well, works are wonderful after you get saved. But you need to be saved by the grace of God and start working for Him. People say, well, I've taken communion, and because I take communion, it brings me closer to God. It might be that you become closer to God because your heart is pure that day with Him. But the fact of the matter is, communion doesn't save you. All these things, if it's grace alone, then it's grace alone. And so we study the Word of God. Have you ever said this to yourself? I never knew that when I left church. You left church and thought, I didn't know that. I've never heard that before. I didn't understand that. Now I know more. I know better. I found some things there, and I've been enjoying that situation. Listen, you can read your Bible all the way through and even find new things as you go through it. Not that it's a new revelation. It's just that God's revealing it to you on that day at that time to show you some of His truths. And again, this morning, everybody in this room, everybody that under the umbrella of my voice this morning needs to know that God sent a gift to the world. It's called the church. And God put a man in charge of the church, a pastor teacher, one that was involved in ministry to serve. And everybody's a vital link to that ministry. Find out what your gift is and use it for the honor and glory of God, hand in hand with your under-shepherd, to work for the cause of Christ. And remember, it's God that put the plan together. It's God that set this in motion. And God says we need to all grow in the Lord till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, the edifying of the church is for the purpose of maturity, growing up in the Lord. We need to mature ourselves in Christ Jesus, growing up in what He wants us to do. Listen, the more we read our Bible, the more we're in Sunday school, the more we're in church, the greater capability we have to learn and to mature. We can't force you to take the knowledge, but we desire for you to glean and learn the knowledge. You know, we live in a society today that, as you think about them, that it's so secularized that we have a lot of time we invest in jobs, a lot of times we invest in rest and entertainment and other things, and that's fine. But think about your spiritual walk. Here's the way it is. 365 days in a year. You agree with that, right? Pretty much, unless there's a leap year. And then you're going to find out that, let's just say that you attend Sunday school and you attend Sunday morning worship and you're here for 2.5 hours. Let's just say that. And you come Sunday night for another hour and a half. That's 4 hours. You come Wednesday night. That's another hour. That's 5 hours. Let's say you spend 5 hours of your week in the house of God. That's if every service. Let's say that you take vacation. So maybe let's just say, and you're sick some. So let's say 50 weeks a year you're in the house of God. 5 hours, 50 weeks, correct me if I'm wrong, 250 hours. How many hours in a day? 24. So that would mean that 11 days total, counting all those hours, of a 365-day calendar year, that 11 days would be appropriated to spiritual things. Are we okay with this so far? Now, if you miss a service, you take 25% off. 8.5 days. 5 days. And we wonder why there's so much carnality. I'm just trying to make it relative here. We sleep, if we sleep 6 hours a night, I don't mean to be rude here, but we've slept a quarter of our life away. But we need to rest because God made our bodies to rest. Entertainment is wonderful. Activity of fellowship. Hey, listen, I'm looking forward to the chili, amen? I'm looking forward to tasting different types of chili. Now, I'm not going to go back and say, nobody made chili for me because I want my chili this way and it doesn't look like anybody made it that way. You know, and then we just do our best to eat food, right? We all like to eat, amen? And then we feel miserable afterwards. No, I'm just kidding. No, we take a nap afterwards. You know, the Bible does say we are called to be saints. I mean, Sunday afternoon is nap time. But not Sunday afternoon during the service, amen? It's after the service, amen? But, yeah, amen, thanks, Brother Murdoch. But the fact of the matter is, you know, when you're growing in the Lord, think about spiritual things. And the pastor says, you ought to be back on Wednesday night. I know we work, things that are going on. You might drive a long way to get here, but you see his emphasis? It's for the maturing. The more you spend time with something, the more you learn about it. How many of you here ever bought a car before? Anybody? Or a pickup? All of us pretty much have, right? Now be honest. How many of you read the manual in the glove box totally through? Now, how many of you know you have a manual in your glove box? Okay. All right? And you understand that when do we normally read the manual in the glove box? When we need it. Brother Pastor, why would we need it? Something's not working right, and so we need the manual. And so we jump into the glove box and we say, what's the problem here? Because nobody wants to go down to the mechanic shop and pay $110 an hour just to look at it. Yeah. Well, I'll go to AutoZone, they'll test it for free. Then you'll freak out because you got four numbers you got to replace, you know, on your computer system. But the reality is we look at the manual due to the fact that we have an issue. Listen, we got to look at the manual every day. We have access to God, communing with Him, making sure we understand we don't need to be running to Him when we have an issue or a problem. We need to grow in grace and in knowledge for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I know this is practical, but it's vitally important. You know how Calvary Baptist Church continued 77 years? People kept coming. People kept bringing their Bibles. Men of God kept preaching. Oh yes, many of our friends and loved ones have departed and gone to glory over the 77 years of anniversary here that we're celebrating. But thank God for the privilege that you have to anchor yourself at Calvary Baptist Church. To be able to say, hey, I am a vital link to this ministry. Now, listen, don't become a legend in your own mind now, thinking without me they couldn't do anything. But the fact of the matter is we are important. We need to realize our importance in the house of God and be faithful to the work He's called us out to do. And he says right here very plainly, he says that we grow up into a perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When the issue comes to the car, the engine light comes on, says check engine, you don't just open the hood and say, oh, it's there, yes, and put it down. That's not what it means. It's beyond that. There's further detail. You check the oil, you check, and you make sure you take care and you maintain. Listen, to maintain your spiritual walk, you need to be in the Word. You need to be in the house of God. Don't fault the one that God gave you as your pastor, as a gift from God, that says you ought to be in the house of God. You ought to be in Sunday school. You ought to be in church. You ought to be faithful. You ought to be reading your Bible and praying and communing with the Lord. That's what He's trying to drive you to do, to honor the Lord. You say, why? Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. You know what you believe? You know why you believe it? It's because you read it in the Bible. You heard it preached. You found out the truth. You're growing in the Lord. You see, in order to have stability, stay with me now, in order to have stability, there has to be maturity. That's what the Bible says. Paul said, if anybody can complain over their circumstances, it could have been, Brother Tom, that he could have been in jail saying, oh, woe is me, pray for me. I don't know why I'm here. I'm innocent. I've not done anything wrong. Please pray for me. And we could wallow in our self-pity and get nothing accomplished. But we're going to find that Paul, even though he was facing this adversity, he was growing in the Lord. He was stable enough to realize that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. He knew exactly what God's plan was. The sovereign God's in charge. And if I'm facing issue in my life, I'm facing suffering in my life, or worry, or turmoil, or hatred, or something else, I know that God has control over all of it, and I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to give it to Him and say, God, I'm going to cast my care upon You because You care for me, and I'm going to let You give me that victory that I need. And so Paul is relating that to his ministry service. He said that we henceforth be no more children. Yes, so children are fickle. They can be tossed to and fro. They can follow a peer. They can follow someone, be drawn into things they know are wrong to do, and yet they're wrapped into it. Listen, children of God, may we stay faithful to the Word of God. Thank God for 77 years you've had a preacher preach. I hope that he preached the truth of God. I hope they stood right for the things of the Lord. I know now that you've got one that believes that way. And if he ever has any issues or has any problems and you think he's shying from God's Word, You let me know. I was on his ordination council. He promised me, if you ever thought different than what he was preaching and what he believed in that room, that he would let me know. And I'm going to hold him to it. Because I believe the Word of God is secure. The Word of God's the answer for the ills of America. The Word of God will help us in our lives. We need to grow up, amen? Not wishy-washy, not going back and forth, but be strong in the Word of God. Being stable in that. It goes on to say, not tossed out with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You see, stability is needed, and there are people that would try to take us into instability. We need to realize that just joining a church or getting involved in some activity is not going to make you righteous. Listen, we are not better than anyone else, but we've been blessed with the truth. Don't walk around thinking that you're better. Just thank God that you've been saved, and you have the blessing to change the people's lives. Years ago, Jonas Salk came out of the laboratory with the vaccine for polio. My mother had polio at the time, and they gave her the vaccine, and she had some issues, but she was able to come out of it. And I'm thankful that he didn't come out of that laboratory saying, Mom, I found the vaccine for polio. We'll keep it a family remedy, won't tell anybody, but none of our kids will ever have to have polio. That's not what he did, Pastor. He came out of that laboratory and announced to the whole world, no children have to have polio anymore. I have found the vaccine. And those that needed it received it. There's going to be no healing if you don't receive it. Listen, we have the vaccine for sin, my friend. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from how much sin? All sin. And if we have the cure for the ills of America, why are we not sharing it with them? Living for Him, crying out for Him, speaking up for Him, doing what we can to bring honor and glory to Him. You say, well, I am. If you are, keep up the good work. If you're not, get started. Honor the Lord. It closes out in this chapter by saying this. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You see, stability is achieved by speaking the truth in love. Just like your pastor does. He loves you. He loves the flock. You love one another. If you really love your neighbor and love your family and love your friends, you'll tell them about how much God loves them. And you'll want them to know about His redeeming power. Aren't you glad somebody told you about Jesus? They weren't forced to. They just chose to. And if we choose to, beloved, think about what God could do if He would just reach out and touch the hearts of people. I'm indicted myself by many things that I read about and I'm involved with. Pastor, you've probably heard this before, but if you think about China is the largest country in the world. And I figured this out, that if you take one penny or one person, and you give them the gospel on one day, there's two people saved. And those two people, the next day, win two people to the Lord. And that next day, those two people win four people to the Lord. And it keeps right on going. In 31 days, you look it up, you figure it out on your own. In 31 days, if everybody got saved the day before, won somebody to the Lord the next day, in 31 days, all of China would be saved. Compound interest? You check it out on me. Because that family, that person, that situation, we can probably reach at least one person in a year's time. And if over a lifetime, and I'm not looking at numbers here, I'm looking at souls. Right. Look at the desire that we have not because we... So may God help us to realize it's not about the number of people in the church, it's about the people that are growing in grace and in knowledge. And sharing the truth. They're stable in the Word of God. They're strong in the Scripture. They're speaking the truth in love. You say, well, they don't like what I have to say. Love them in their sin. Love them in what they're doing, but don't love them enough to where you partake of it. Realize that people need the Lord. And we need to reach out and try to touch their lives. We have to accept that. Listen, it is normal. Listen to me. It is normal for a lost man to live like he's lost. But we that are saved should live different. We're not better. We're just different. We're saved by the grace of God. It says, speak the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, just like a chain, every link, put together for a purpose. He said, we're fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Listen, love under Christ's headship, when we reveal that true love, brings stability to the body. Brings stability to the church. And he says right there, increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Listen, every part of the body is important. In the physical body, every part's important. If you have a headache, wouldn't it be great to leave your head at home and go off to work anyway? You have a toothache, knock yourself in the face, you know, and take off, get rid of the tooth. No, if we have problems with our physical realm, our gallbladder, our tonsils, our knees, our feet, whatever happens, Brother Murdoch, even in the inner part of our bodies that we face issues with, that they know a lot about. Urologists talk different things, you know, they'll take questions for us and they'll find out what's wrong, and sometimes they have to thin our blood and sometimes they have to do different things for us, and they have to let us know there's an issue. It may not look bad on the outside, but on the inside there's turmoil. Listen, everybody in this room is fitly compacted into the work of God. You're important, church. You're important not only to Calvary Baptist Church, but you're important to your family. You're important to this community. They need a Bible preaching church. I'm not saying they don't have any more, but you ought to be thankful for the one you have. Pray for the one you have. Participate in the one you have. When you're singing the songs, sing them out. When the offering plate goes by, try to give. When the preacher's preaching, try to smile and stay awake. Because I'm preaching today, amen. No, just participate in serving God. It's amazing what God can do. He said it's for the edifying of the body. It's fitly compacted together. And each body part has a function and a purpose. And if one hurts, we all hurt. Paul said, rejoice them that do rejoice. Weep them that weep. We can have victory in the Lord. 77 years and probably no one's been here the whole time. But the church has been here. And they may have different faces. They have the same need. It's spiritual. And we have the same Bible. It's been preached all over the years. Even Brother Tom's ministry over the same years. Preaching the Word of God. Brother Noah's ministry here. Preaching the Word of God. Teachers teaching the Word of God. You say, well, what if nobody gets saved? Well, you just keep teaching the Word of God. You keep preaching the Word of God. You keep living the Word of God. You keep bringing your Bible to the house of God. You take notes and you listen and you learn and you glean. And you walk out these doors to your mission field. And so I'm a vital link to the great Calvary Baptist Church. The church is so great that Christ died for it. I'll at least try to live for Him. Amen. While I serve in it. Amen. Just like the challenge of church, continue to do what you know is right to do. Keep up the good work. But if you've been setting it down a little bit, not been on as fire as you need to be, why not start today to rekindle that in your heart? And say, listen, God's been so good to me. He has blessed me, given us a good church. Give us a great place to serve. Let's do our very best to continue to honor and glorify Him. Because one day, when you and I stand in His presence, we'll be glad that we did.
Thank you for listening. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege of being your servant. Thank you, God, for Calvary Baptist Church. Lord, what a blessing it is to see the servants of the Lord faithful this morning on this anniversary Sunday to the house of God. I pray, God, that you might bless each one that's come. Open up our ears and our hearts and minds to the truth. That, God, once again, through your Holy Spirit leadership, we would glean some things that would help us in our service and walk with you. Help us all to realize that we're vitally important to this great ministry. That we would do our part to be faithful to the work you've called us out to do. Help us to rejoice when others rejoice, to weep when others weep, to move forward for the cause of the Lord, to beware of the enemy that's above us, beware of the snakes and vultures that are around us, and to do what we can to be drawn into the things of God in the fold and do our best to serve you and love you and obey you and honor you with all of our being. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the testimony of the great victory we have in the mystery of the church. May we do our part to connect to this local assembly the best we know how in the days ahead. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Pastor?